could see, Lord, the things that you're doing, how you have ways planned, the way that you are absolutely in control, and those truths in the scripture that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Father, that we are held in the midst of your hand and nothing can take us out of that. Father, we thank you. We praise you for those truths. Lord, I pray that we would desire to stay in your hand. Father, that we would find our resting place. That we would lean into you and ask you to be our shield and our buckler. Father, that you would give us that manna from heaven, Lord, and that you would refresh in us that fountain of everlasting life that flows from the very throne of God. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. Father, I do pray for the... I ask, Father, that you would relieve us from the fear that surrounds us on every side, Lord. It seems to be so much confusion. Father, help us to see through all of the stuff and that our focus, our heart would be continually on you, Lord, and knowing that you are absolutely sovereign, that you're absolutely in control, and that there is nothing that is coming against us that you have not allowed. And Father, we know that all things work together for good because we love you and we're called by your name. And Father, we want to rest and hold on to those truths. Father, help us not look into the world for our answers, but help us to know our answer comes from the mountains. As we lift our heads up, and we see you high, Father. We thank you for that. I do pray for, like I ask, for the healing of the nation, Lord Jesus. First and foremost, we must understand that we have sinned and come against the commandments, the statutes that you have given us. Father, we've turned away from your goodness and righteousness. Father, we are a nation that is guilty of some of the most atrocious sin, Lord, that's ever been on the planet. And Father, we confess that. We pray that you would move in our hearts, Lord, that you would call us out of the darkness and into your light and help us to settle, Lord God, in those truths because, Father, you have grafted us into the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we do rest in you and we ask even now that you would speak through your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to your people, Spirit of God. Help us to hear what you have to say to the churches on this day. And Lord, we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writing, I guess I need to back up just one verse. It says, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You, the church, you've been saved, you've been set apart. God has moved in you and moved on you, and he's building you to be a habitation. What is a habitation? It's a house. You are a house, a dwelling place. God says, I want to be in you. I want to be on you. I want to be around you, surrounding you. I want to lead you, to guide you, and I want you to be my will.
Amen.
You know, I want you, the church, to be the will of God. As Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes. If the church, if the ecclesia would have that mindset, that we would say, God, we are your habitation. And as your habitation, you have complete, total, absolute authority over us. And when you tell us to go, we're going to go. When you tell us to stay, we're going to stay. When you tell us to pray, we're going to fall on our faces before the Most High God. And nothing on this earth is going to stop us.
Amen.
And we need to have that resolutely resting in our hearts, in our minds, and making that not just a thought process, but a lifestyle. Amen? It should be our lifestyle in Christ, knowing that we are his habitation. And as that house, that dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, that we are the ambassadors, that we are the representation of the Most High God right here on this planet, right here at this time. And what the world sees in you, they will recognize about God. Amen? So we must love each other. We must walk in that holiness.
And Paul said, for this cause, right? For this cause. Why? Because we the habitation of God. Because of that, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Amen? I like that. Paul was not a free man. You know, when you get born again, you've been set free from sin and death, but now you are no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Amen? And now that you're bought with a price, you need to be chained to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Being that a bond servant. Amen? No longer a servant to sin. No longer a servant to the flesh. No longer a servant to my will. But I'm standing at the doorpost of the household of the Most High God and saying, Lord, I want to be your slave. I want to be your servant. So here's my ear. Take your all and pin me to your door. Right? Because that's what a bond servant was. That's what a servant means. You take your ear and you say, give me a 16-penny nail and drive me in right here. It's the only place I want to be pierced on my body. I've never had an earring or nose ring or any other ring on me except my wedding band. All right? But that's not a piercing. That's a willing slip-on. So, but he says, I want that. That's who I am. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm his bondservant. Do you want that? See, when you are that, then God will use you immensely in this dispensation of time. He will use you immensely in your family. He'll use you immensely in your community. He'll tell you to do things that sounds crazy to everybody else. But when you walk and live in that obedience, God will open up to you avenues and doorways. He will speak to you and work through you and move in you that the whole world can see that you belong to the Most High God. Amen? And that's what I want us to be. I want us to want him more than we want this life. I want us, the body of Christ, to love him more than we love ourselves. To love him more than we love our kids, our moms, our dads, even our own flesh, right? We love the Lord God first and foremost. And then he says, then you can be my disciple.
Amen.
When you're loving me right, when you love me the right way, when you give yourself to me the right way, then I will teach you. Who wants to be taught by God? Amen? I want to be taught by God. I don't need to be taught by some professor. I don't need to have somebody with a pile-high, deep degree on the side of the building somewhere. I need the Holy Spirit of God to lead me through the Scripture of God, to open up my understanding so that I can pour that out. Amen? Because that's the only reason he teaches you, that you can show it to somebody else. And so Paul said, for this reason, he was a prisoner of Christ. What's the reason you're a prisoner for Christ? Or let me ask you, are you?
Amen.
Amen? Because it's a free will choice. Do you want to be or you don't want to be? Because God ain't going to make you do it. But if you want to do it, God will use you. If you want to do it, he will fill you. If you want it, he'll give it to you. But you got to want it bad enough to die to this world. You got to want it bad enough to get rid of yourself and start putting him on. The holiness of God.
Amen.
Told you I was tired. Ain't you glad?
So he says, life of joy.
Amen. That's it. It's a life of joy.
Every place.
Oh, I've got joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. Tuesday. Oh, Wednesday. No, Tuesday. Tuesday. Anyhow, he says in verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace, which is given me to you, ward. All right? Toward you is how we would say it. If you have heard the dispensation of grace. Now, this dispensation is a stewardship. It's also a time period. You know that the time period of grace for the church started on a certain day? For the ecclesia, not for the Hebrew people, okay, but for the Gentile people. There was a time after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. Pentecost had fully come.
Amen.
Amen. And then this wonderful thing happened in time space.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God came and he said, I'm making my house inside of people.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to be in you. My grace is going to fill you. And this is the beginning of the dispensation of grace for the Gentile people. Now, the Hebrew people had the law, and they had grace. And God's grace was just as great then as it was for the Gentile people. But it's a new covenant was being performed, all right? Because it had been proclaimed by Christ. This is the new covenant in my blood. Right? And so in that, he said, this is the dispensation where the Holy Spirit no longer would come and rest on a person, right, for a time. And then when that job was done, he would come and he would leave. Now the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I am in, I'm in you. I'm part of you. I can never leave you. I have sealed you until the day of redemption. All right? And he cannot leave you until then.
Amen. Bless God.
Which brings me to a different thought. All right? When I willfully sin against him, what does that do to him in me? Right? I grieve the Holy Spirit. And the scripture plainly says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't get your heart so callous by doing your will and not his will that he no longer openly uses you. Right? Because you need to be a free-willed person to be used by God. You freefully give yourself in an abundance toward him.
Amen.
And if we grieve him, if he says go and you say no, that grieves him. If he says pray and you say not now, that grieves him. If he says witness and you say, yeah, you know, I'd rather do something else, then that grieves him. If he tells you not to do something and you do it anyhow, that grieves him. And it's kind of like building a callus. Do you remember, y'all, when you got your first blister? All right, how did that hurt? All right, it hurt. It was at my grandson's. They were this weekend with us, and little JJ is 14, and he was doing some stuff, pulling off. I forget exactly what it was, but oh yeah, he was pulling nails out of the trim that was around. He was pulling the little nails out. 14 years old. He said, "Oh, I have a blister. It hurts." I said, "Good." Because that blister will turn into a callus. And that callus on your hands is a good thing. That means you won't get sore blister next time. It'll just become tougher and tougher. Well, the same thing can happen to your heart when you live in disobedience to God. It'll hurt for the first time, but then it'll get calloused and calloused. And all of a sudden you'll be living in a sin that
That's
the Holy
right.
Spirit told you not to do, and you don't even feel remorse for it anymore.
That's right.
Amen? That's why when I was working all the time, I used to cut my calluses down. Because if not, they'd rip off. You know, and you don't want your callus to rip off. Cut them down. Right? Amen. Take your pocket knife, you shave that baby down. You know?
Where's that?
That's in real life, baby. That's in real life. And so, but he has given this dispensation of grace. So there's a beginning of it. That also means that there must be an end of it. A dispensation means it's a time period. And Paul, being a steward of that time period, he started that dispensation of grace, bringing the good news, the gospel, to the Gentile churches, to the Gentile nations. But just as it started, there will also come a time that that grace will end. There will come a time that there will be the resurrection. All right? There will be a time that the Holy Spirit calls his people home, that Jesus comes and he brings us home, right? There'll be that time for some of us. There'll be a lot of us that think that we're there and we ain't.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Right.
There'll be a lot of us that say, well, I went to church and I did all the things, but you were a terror the whole time. A terror the whole time. You weren't a peacemaker, you were a terror
Amen.
The whole time. Causing divisions, things of that sort. But then, anyhow, there's a dispensation of grace. And Paul was given that message of grace to the Gentile churches, and he gave it to us that we could share it with others. And there was a beginning, and there will also be an end. And this, it started again at Pentecost, and it will be ending with the catching away of the church at the resurrection. Amen. And we got time to look at that, just not tonight. And verse 3 it says, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. In other words, he wrote Before he wrote you this letter, he wrote another letter, and he didn't use a few words. He let you know about what he was talking about. That there's a revelation made known about this mystery. So this mystery, flip back to Romans chapter 11 real quick. And he's talking about the mystery there also. I think this really describes it really well, starting in 17 and working through 25. So amen when you get there. It's Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 17. I hate to start in the middle of a thing right here, but we're talking about a specific thing, about the mystery of the Gentile church being grafted into the promises of Israel. And verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Look at what he said. We are, the Gentile church, we were a wild, we weren't part of the original promise. Alright, the original promise was for Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Alright, it was for the land. But because the Hebrew people rejected Jesus Christ, they didn't want their Messiah. In fact, they said, crucify him and let this curse be on us and our children. And they officially turned away from the blessings of God. In fact, Jesus said, if you would have known this hour, if you would have known what was prepared for you this hour, but since you didn't know it and you didn't want it, that's okay. I'll give this to somebody else. I'll put you on the back burner, Israel. Not that God doesn't love them. They're still the apple of his eye. And there will be a day that they come back. But there's going to be a time that they're put on the back burner. And he's going to bring in the Gentile people. And that's what he's talking about here. We were a wild tree. And we were grafted in among the promised tree. Or the righteous tree. The righteous olive or olive tree. And wherewith you partakest the root and the fatness of that. Of the olive tree. So we're partaking of the promises of Israel, although we're Gentiles. We are taking the promises that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be with them, to love them, to fill them, to never leave them, to be their stronghold, their buckler, their shield, to bring them into a place of rest and contentment. Now the Gentile people have an entrance through Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been grafted in through that. He says, now boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now remember, don't start talking bad about Israel. That's what he's saying. Don't talk bad about Israel, because remember where your root's at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, your root is in Jehovah. Right? Your root is in the very beginning when God created and he gave these promises to Abraham and his descendants. You've been grafted into that. So don't be talking bad about the Hebrew people. Don't think that they're less than what they are. Don't think that because you've been grafted in that you're something special. Because you ain't. You're not special. You're just a people that God loves. Isn't that good to know? Right? Remember when the promise was given to Abraham, that was before the circumcision? Right? He was a Gentile. Right? And so anyhow. But the root is bearing you. You're not bearing the root. Verse 19 says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Look at what he said. Because they did not believe, God broke them off. They didn't believe that Christ was God manifested in flesh. They didn't believe that, so God snapped them off. All right? He put them out of the way, and he grafted you into that spot. All right? Now, don't think highly of yourself, like he just said. Don't be high-minded, but reverence. Be in fear. Be in awe of that. Because if he broke off the natural branches, don't you think he'd snap you off just as quick as you decided not to believe? Just as soon as you decided to be apostate and you want to walk away from God, you don't want to trust God, you don't want to lean into his word, you don't want to be used by him, don't you think that God could say, all right, you don't want it, you ain't got to have it? Amen. You have a free will. God doesn't take away your free will at the moment of your salvation. I don't want to try to make you think that you will lose your salvation, because you can't lose it.
No.
It's a gift from God. But you can ignore it. You cannot be used. You can stop being fertile soil for the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And you can reject it. You can become apostate. And it tells us in Hebrews that if you become apostate, you walk away from it. You have re-crucified Christ. And there is no remission for sin for you. Mm-hmm. That's where the fear comes in. Do you understand that? That we can sin, that we can absolutely... And you say, well, I don't know if anybody can turn away from God. Well, I've known people that have turned away from God. They confessed, they believed, they brought people to saving, and they were pastors, preachers of the gospel. And they said, I no longer want this, and they walked away from it, and they became absolutely wicked and died in that state. Tells us in Galatians when it talks about the works, the fruit of the flesh, right? The works of the flesh. You look at the list. He says, anybody practicing such things has no inheritance in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Jesus, again, Matthew 7:22, says, and that day many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. Actually, it starts out a little bit before that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will, right? What does doeth mean?
Do.
It means do it. Go ahead, Ken.
I was going to say, there's always a prodigal son.
Yes, there absolutely is. Yeah. And if you come back,
that's it.
If you come back, if you come back, you have a place. And God will give you the robe, he'll give you the ring back, and he'll set you where you were. But if you refuse until you breathe your last breath, if the prodigal son would have died in the pig swine, right? If he would have died there, the father couldn't have helped him. But he came to his senses.
Amen.
And I think there's a lot of Christians right now that need to come to their senses. Amen? There's a lot of Christians out there right now that are living a lifestyle of sin. They've taken the bounty of God. They've taken the goodness, the grace of God, and they've gone out into the world and disrespected it and slandered his name and blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Yes, folks. Just because you were grafted in doesn't mean God can't take you back out. And as I will go on study that, because it's not me saying it, it's God that says it. It's Paul right here, verse 22-21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Okay. All right, what did he just say? Now we're talking about the mystery of grace here. Remember where we're at, because I don't want to get you running off, because he's going to get back to this here in just a second. For God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. The goodness and the seriousness of God, right? On them which fell, the severity, but toward the goodness, all right? So he was severe toward Israel, but toward the Gentiles, he was God. Why? Because he knew the Gentiles would accept the good news. They would accept the gospel. That time, that dispensation was coming up. And that's severity for. But toward the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. All right? A lot of folks don't like that. I can't help it. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't really like. All right? I don't like that point where we got to make a living off the sweat of our brow. I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that. But I think it was much better in the Garden of Eden when the fruit just came to you. You know, you could walk around. There was no thorns, no briars, no bristles. You could walk around in your Bermuda shorts and not get splinters. Man, wasn't that good?
Yeah.
You know, no poison ivy. None of that stuff was out there. It was all good. It was all good stuff. But because of sin came in, and because Israel turned away from God, he cut them off. And he says, if thou continue in his goodness. So if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, if you choose not to continue in his goodness, he says, thou also shalt be cut off, just like Israel was. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. All right? So if you are walking away, if you're living in a backslidden state, if you're living in sin right now, turn around. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you backed away, you went your own way about it. He says, turn around because God is able to graft you back in. Amen? It ain't over because you're breathing. Right? As long as you got breath, you got a chance. When you breathe your last breath, that's your last chance. Either you're in or out. Right? So, if thou wert cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature, into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted in? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, all right? The mystery of the dispensation of grace. That's what we're going to talk about. Lest thou should be wise in your own conceits, and blindness in part as happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. All right? So Israel is blinded until the end of that dispensation. That's what he said right there. Now just remember, while we're in this dispensation of grace, while we're in this mystery that he's talking about, while we're living in this time, we need to make sure that we stay connected to the vine. John chapter 15. Right? We need to make sure that you are in the vine. And pulling all that you have from the root, from the stem, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, and make sure that you don't willfully walk away.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit wants to trim stuff off of you, the dead works of your flesh, what are you supposed to do?
Submit.
Yeah. Cut it off. Does it hurt? Absolutely. Amen. Yes, it hurts. When God takes away something that I really like, but it's a sin, and God tells me to kill it, it hurts. I mean, that is not a pleasant thing, but the reward is very pleasant. Amen? Amen. To have a closer walk with the Lord, that's much better.
Amen.
So it is about this mystery of grace. It's about the mystery of the fullness of Gentiles. And all Israel shall be saved. And there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodly from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, there are enemies for your sakes, but touch not the election. They are beloved for the Father's sake. Amen. So in that, like we're talking about here, back in Ephesians chapter 3, this dispensation, this mystery that we have an understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. That how God started with one particular people group, Abraham and his descendants, and how he made promises to them because Abraham was obedient to what God had called him. And he said, through you the whole world will be blessed. Through you, you will have more children than the sands of the seas or the stars in the sky. That was a mystery to him. And then the church was brought into that covenant. All right? No longer is it just the Hebrew people, but all the peoples of the world. God, when Jesus died on the cross, he opened a gateway that whoever would come could come.
Amen.
Right? And if you will come, you can have these promises that God gave you. He gives you love. He gives you life. He gives you hope. He gives you a desire for things that are not yet seen. He gives you the understanding of mysteries. He gives you love that you could not have before. He gives you hope, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control. All of the fruit of the Spirit is open to you if you'll just get you some. Right? All you got to do is go do it. If you want those things, there's certain things we got to do to receive them. We got to confess our sin. We got to turn from our sin. We got to turn to Christ, holding on to this grace that he has given us and not walking away from it. It says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 3, whereby, when you read, you may understand by my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, that mystery we just talked about, which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So how did the holy apostles and the prophets understand about the dispensation of the Gentiles?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. God moved on holy men, and they wrote what the Spirit of God told them to. The Holy Spirit showed them that there would be a time that the Gentiles would come in into this promise, this vine, this olive branch, or Jesus called it a grapevine. I'm a blank page. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my Bible to it. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it. He cuts off the dead stuff, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you, unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit within itself, except it abide in the vine. How many, do you see like a pattern here? Who's got to abide? We do. You have a free will. Stick with it. If you look at it, it's abide, it's abide, it's abide. He's the vine. Abide, 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 abide. All right, so I count like a bunch of abidings right there. So what do you got to do? You got to abide. You want to be used by God? Abide in the vine. You want to be allowed? You want God to do things in you that is extraordinary? Allow Him to cut off your dead stuff.
Amen.
You want to bear more fruit? Who here's tired of not bearing any fruit? All right, then you got something to be cut off. You got something to be cut off. Who else had their hand? Cut it off. Let God cut it off. Right? Cut it off. Right? Cut it off. Allow Him to cut it off. You already know what needs to be cut off. All you got to do is bring it to Him. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's already telling you right now. He's telling you that there is dead stuff in you that needs to be pruned. You want to bear fruit? Cut it off. Cut off whatever is stopping you from entering into the fullness of God's grace.
Amen.
Anything that's stopping you from being used mightily by His hand. And what the only thing that's stopping you is you. You say, I love my sin more than I trust God. Every time God tells you to get something out of your life, and you say, no, I want my way. Then God says, all right, have it your way. But you know what you're going to lose? My way.
There you go.
Right? And so what do you want, your way or God's way? Your way or Yahweh? All right, I want Yahweh. I want Yahweh. So if I get Yahweh, that means I got to let Him cut off the dead stuff that is in me, that is on me. All that stuff that is not fruit-bearing in my life has got to be gone away with.
Amen.
That's why I got off of Facebook. It wasn't bearing fruit in my life. It might be bearing fruit in your life. I don't know. That's not for me to say. But as for me, it didn't bear any fruit. In fact, it was a canker on me.
Right.
And I had to got let. And it hurt me the first month, you know, not to be looking at what other people were eating. Or people who shouldn't have an opinion give you their opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And so anyhow, and it bothered me. It did, because I was like addicted to Facebook.
Yeah.
But now you know where I spend all my time? Facing the book.
Amen.
I'm not in Facebook. I'm like this. My body, my life, my spirit is in the book. And God is telling me there's certain things that are still in me that need to be killed that I can bear more fruit. Right? Because none of us have made it yet.
No.
All right? So all you got to do is relax and allow God to do what
Amen.
He needs to do in you.
Amen.
Confess it to Him, because you know what it is. God, this is a stronghold against me, and I don't know what that is in your life. There's a stronghold against me, God, and I've fought it, I can't beat it. God, what do I need to do? And the Lord will say, bring it to the altar, tie it to the horns of the altar that I can cut its throat.
Amen.
I mean, that sounds kind of gross.
And don't take it back.
Don't take it back. Amen. You look at the Old Testament, when they brought the sin offering to the Lord, they brought it to that altar, the altar of sacrifice, and the priest would come in and they would kill it. They would drain all its blood out, and then they would burn its carcass. That's what you need to do with that sin in your life.
Amen.
You need to bring it to the altar. Let the priest kill it, our high priest, Jesus Christ. Let him kill it. Let him burn it in the altar. Amen?
Amen.
That aroma will become a sweet thing to the Lord. And He will relieve you of that burden of sin that so easily besets you.
Amen.
And see, you've got to be willing to get rid of it.
Hebrews 12.
Hey, Hebrews 12. Amen. Ties right perfectly. Right in there. Here, well, let's go there. You know, I like it when somebody just hollers out, Hebrews 12. Well, let's see what he's talking about. Because, you know, as much as I've read the whole Bible, I did not memorize it. Not all of it, but I do know what Hebrews 12 says. Wherefore, seeing we also were compassed with so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. How do we do that? We got to lay it aside, right? We got to chuck it off. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That means the people that have died and gone before you, they're looking down and they're rooting you on. Go, Ryan, go. Go, Ryan, go. Right? And they're rooting, you can do it. You can do it. Right? And they're wanting you to succeed in Christ. And cast off that weight that so easily besets you. Cast it off. You know, get rid of it. Cast aside every weight and sin, and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us look to Jesus, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, amen, the right hand of the throne of God. Woo! Amen. Praise God. That's good stuff right there. Yeah. And see, the Lord is telling us this. That's what this dispensation of grace is for, that the Gentiles, us, that we, in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be the fellow heirs and of the same body and the partakers of his promise in Christ by the good news, by the gospel. Amen. We're brought in through the good news of Jesus Christ. That good news that God became a man. Yeah. All right? That Jehovah, the living God, who could know no sin, became man that he could experience sin.
Right?
Right? And it's not that God didn't know what sin was all about, right? Because he's God, he knows everything. He wanted us to know that he knows. Right? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came in the form of a man. God, the fullhead, the Godhead, came as a man to be tempted in every way and yet without sin. That we could know that God has compassion for us.
Yeah.
Because he's been there. He knows how it feels. He knows what it's like to be hungry, cold. He knows what it's like for his family to turn their back on them. He knows what it's like for his friend to betray him and turn him in to be killed on the cross, right? He understands that. He understands what it's like for the Father to turn his face away. And he did that we might have an opportunity to have a communion with the Father.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. Amen. Think about that. Isn't that love?
That's
agape. Amen. That's a God. That is like the highest form of love. Picture that. That God, the omnipotent one, the sinless one, the one all-knowing, all-powerful, that omnipresent God, became a man to experience sin, so we know that God understands where we've been. Wow.
Bless him.
He didn't have to. He got to. Amen? Oh, if people of the church would start having that idea, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. You don't get to go to church. You get to be the church. Amen? And he says, that's that effectual working of his power. In verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. There's a lot of should be men, standing behind the pulpit that do not have the effectual working of the power of God in them.
That's right.
Standing up, they got a lot of degrees, right? They got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have much of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have much of that effectual working, effectual power. You know, power should have an effect, right? Yeah, I mean, who here ever saw it like drag racing or big motored car? I mean, vroom, 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 right? Just big, a beef, vroom, step on it, burn the wheels off. Kind of stuff. All right, so you got all this power under the hood, but you never step on the gas. Right? What good did it do you? It looked good, right? Let me go back to this. Bodybuilders. Right? They're big, strong men. Right? They've got all these rippling muscles, right? But they don't know how to work.
I got a muscle so big I can't scratch my tail.
Yeah.
You know? So strong I can't tie my shoes.
If I bend over, I'll fall. Right? So often we're like that. We're Christians. We have the power of the Most High God.
Amen.
But all we have is book learning. We don't have any effectual power. That effectual power comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the obedience to what the Holy Spirit says led through the Word of God.
Amen.
Then it begins to work properly, effectually. Right? If you're doing what the Bible says, you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God, you will speak truth that will change lives.
Amen.
Amen? Right. You will live a life that is effectual for everybody to see.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's what it's about, being the church. That's what God has called us for. See, I don't have my clock. Oh, it's already 8. My wife is about ready to give me the finger. The one finger.
Oh.
Right? Because we took the clocks down from back there. I normally look up there and I can tell what time it is. The clock was repainted me and got the clock up there. So my wife told me she'd give me a sign. I said, "You're going to give me the finger, ain't you?" She said, "Yeah. The pointy finger." And so anyhow, I had to say that because this is being recorded and it's being put out all over the world. They're going to hear that. So anyhow, y'all come to church. Come on down. You need to see this. So, verse 8. So, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace given, that I should preach among the chief Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at the humbleness that Paul wrote in. The least of all the saints. Although he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, because I believe he wrote Hebrews, all right? Or at least somebody really, really close to him did, right? But I personally think he did.
Yeah.
I can't prove it, you know, and I don't need to.
Yeah.
It's Holy Scripture. I don't care who wrote it. It's good. Right? So he wrote 2/3 of the Word of God. And he said, out of that, I'm still the least. Out of that, because I persecuted the church to the degree that I did, I am less than any of the rest. What a humble heart that was. What a humble man that is.
Instead of saying, "I'm Paul. Look at me. You've been baptized in my name. You're great because of me."
No, he says, "No, I'm nothing.
Amen.
I'm not, my righteousness is like filthy rags." It says in verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." That's what we're doing right now, right? That's what we do in the men's group. That's what we do in the women's group. That's what we do on Sunday morning early when we do our Bible study. We are looking to make the fellowship of the mystery to be seen by all men, right? We open up our Bibles and we go through it. And I want you all to know, I can still be taught. Right? I do not know it all. In fact, I don't even know some of it. Right? I know what the Holy Spirit lets me know. And next year when I go through this, I'll know more. Amen?
Amen.
And our job as the church is the same as Paul's job was, is to make all men see what is the fellowship, what is the koinonia, what is the gathering of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Christ, in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Bless.
How many things were created by Christ?
All things.
Amen. Amen. And since it's 8 o'clock, we'll stop right there. All right? I want you to hold on to a couple things. All right? Just through this little portion of Scripture, what we saw is that Paul wants you to know that God is sovereign. Amen? He wants you to know
they
that.
They don't talk enough about God's sovereignty.
I know
it
they
means
don't.
That nobody can influence him in any way.
You're right.
People
nobody can influence God. He is like God, right?
Yeah,
he's the creator.
He does right. What he wants to do.
Amen.
You cannot ask a question. Shut your mouth.
Amen.
You don't know anything.
I love you so much, sister. I really do.
I tell you, I love the life. I have a life of joy because I find that when you're totally surrendered to God, you don't question.
Amen.
When you get to a certain growth, you won't question anything.
That's the truth.
Because everything will come from Him.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Dear Father, we do love you and we thank you, glory God. We thank you for that fellowship, for the revealing of the mystery of the truth and the love of God. Lord, I pray that you would move over this congregation, Father, that you would keep us holy and humble. Lord, that you would help us to be truly be your hands and your feet in this time and the dispensation that we have. Lord, I just sense it in me, Father, that we're closer to going home than what we might realize. Father, and I pray for the steadfastness of the church. Father, I pray for the steadfastness, for the holding on of the fellowship, for the holding on of the truth of God's word, for the not turning away. Lord, help us to just enjoy and desire that grafting in that you allowed us to have.
Amen.
Lord, and that we wouldn't become high-minded and that we wouldn't be all about us, but it's all about others through you. Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And if there's something you don't understand,
He will.